plug that in.
I still want the fuzzy mic covers.
The hairy ones?
The hairy ones. It's like a fuzzy mouse.
I think those are supposed to be for your peas.
These
what?
Aren't these they?
Because, like, if you've ever, I don't know if you've ever noticed, in a mic, if you say, like, Pepsi, it'll go like,
Dan does that a lot. He doesn't know it.
You overpronounce your P's?
Enunciate.
I do that. I have a terrible thing. I have a, when I first started comedy, they would use me for mic checks for that reason.
Because
I over-enunciate, like, P's and, you know, that kind of stuff.
And that's an over-enunciation. I think Dan does it. It's more on purpose. He's...
Sarcasm, perhaps.
I think I get sloppy when I'm drunk, is what he's saying.
No, that's true. No, you do it when you're sober, too.
Oh, okay.
When you get worked up by a call or something.
No.
Perhaps.
The stereotype of me getting hyperventilated on a call is a little over the top, but I'm just saying.
We have a colleague that used to hyperventilate, remember?
Actually hyperventilate?
You did?
No, he would say he's a colleague.
A colleague.
Yeah. I thought there was a dog, a colleague.
No. A colleague. No, a colleague. I'm not going to mention any names in case we're recording. But remember when we used to have a person we work with used to say, I'm hyperventilating because, the sight is so bad or something happened.
They used it as a phrase. They didn't actually hyperventilate.
Correct.
You know the colleague we're talking about.
I don't think I do. I probably know the person, but I didn't know the person did that habit. Yeah.
He would say that in his emails, that he's hyperventilating.
I think I've just figured out who it is.
So on that note, welcome to the World IT Guys podcast. I'm Steve.
John.
Dion.
Sean.
And we are the Worldwide IT Guys, and we're here for podcast number 6. So,
I believe we made it to number 6.
Can't believe we made it to 6? I'm starting to get good feedback. People are listening and sharing their opinions, their thoughts, their, not necessarily their desires, but...
we're huge in Amsterdam. That's what I heard.
I may have had an opinion that certain things weren't going as well, and I've been encouraged that, no, they're not as bad as you think they are. So other than some production values that we are working to resolve and will resolve soon.
We have a GoFundMe page. Anyone wants to...
We can't do shit about the content. It is what it is.
Oh, okay.
Unless you're going to, like,
GoFundMe page for writers.
For writers.
Yeah, writers and better talent.
New equipment.
Yeah.
Right.
So I wanted to start us off just by saying that, so I was in New York this week for a meeting that was not necessarily related, but spawned by the Transformation Program, which is sort of our theme. And so I thought I'd raise it as something that we did. And it was a very positive experience. So this was a group of companies that traditionally you'd think of as competitive, but all part of our group. And we all sat down and kind of knocked our heads together and talked about how we're structured, why we're structured the way we are, how we are, focused on different projects and what those are. And then a bit more importantly, what are some things that perhaps we could do together? Because we kind of do the same things. So how could we do things better as a collective as opposed to all splintered and doing our own thing our own way? And it was a very good conversation. Now, we've had sort of similar things happen in our past, but there seems to be a different level of openness, a different level of interest in kind of working together as opposed to just talking about how we do it better than you and therefore screw you. There was a lot more of, well, here's our problems and here are our challenges and here's what we'd like to see happen. How can we pool our resources and maybe one of the groups go off and focus on, you know, project X and another go off and focus on project Y, but with a shared resource pool. So it was, you know, out of all of this, we talk about, you know, the warts and the negative. This is one of those things that feels like sort of the purpose. Why we'll be better because of this transformation.
So you guys drank this Kool-Aid this week.
Well, there was some drinking involved.
Right.
And maybe that was helpful as part of it. But no.
So maybe everyone's realizing that...
Parent company was not there.
Okay.
Third-party resource was not there. It was all just the opposite.
So it's the people that are experiencing the growing pains actually saying, we're all on this, like, runaway train together. Let's do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, that's good. I mean, I didn't think it would ever happen. But proving us all wrong is great.
And, you know, to be fair, I left the meeting talking to a few of those guys about, this is great. We've kind of heard similar things before. Is it really going to happen this time? So that's the proof is in the pudding. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I could see, let's say there's 10 people in the room. I could see a couple people, the bigger organizations, maybe do their own thing. And maybe a couple of the smaller groups kind of join together. Like, how do we make alliances to... You know,
like
it's almost like a survivor, you know, because, you know, a lot of the smaller.
If we could take some people off the island, that would be awesome.
So who would you vote off first? Yeah. But
that conversation,
I can't see every, like all the big groups buying in right away, but it sounds like we bought in. So,
well, I believe there was a collective kumbaya moment, if you will. We sat around, you know, cross-legged and smoked the peace pipe and had a good time and said, let's go.
Okay.
So now the question is, do we go?
Do we act on it?
Yeah. Yeah. But
you shared some information about a project that I'm working on and how you mentioned it, and one team's going to work on something and you're kind of splitting.
Yeah, we're trying
to come back and report.
Divide on that subject and figure out, you know, it's an asset management discussion, divide a little bit on it, come back and think about what it is we both learned and make a joint decision about a path. And, you know, that's all I think our senior management, our parent company wants to see happen.
Right.
Don't all do four different things, four different ways.
Sure.
Come up with one plan. All nod your heads that you're in core agreement with that and go. So it seems like that was a very positive.
But then when it comes to award shows and we're competitors.
Separate.
We're competitors.
Absolutely.
Well, one thing I've always wondered, are we competitors on paper for antitrust reasons? Or is it known?
Oh, it's absolutely known.
Not compete clause.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's a conflict.
Yeah.
So
I was wondering, like, how legal it always is to share all these services and everything, you know?
I mean,
is this something that you have to hide from clients that,
No.
Yeah, okay.
We have to, in cases, prove
yeah.
that this group is in no way related to that group over
yeah.
there. So, in our space here, we have multiple companies and in order for us to be able to tell a client that, look, the people on that side of the building can't get to that, you know, this side of the building and vice versa, so that they won't see something on a storyboard or on a computer screen or this or that, they will just literally separate that physically.
Sure. That's why it's so annoying to get like a coffee here.
Well, yeah. and you know, some people have cards that are able to go both ways, but that, you know, they aren't working on those businesses.
Sure.
Most people at either end of the building just can't get to the other side.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So that's the kind of proof that we have. And, you know, I worked with a vendor where it's very similar to one of the pieces of business was so secretive and worried about leaks that they had a room that was totally secluded and locked. And the people that could get into that room were the only people that could get into that room. And, you know, I was on tours and stuff and they were like, and nobody can go there. Like literally none of us can get in.
That room doesn't
exist.
This
was one of the senior executives of the organization going, I can't even get into that room. So it's that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, the weird thing technologically is, you know, people still at these organizations will say, you can't host my stuff. I think we've gotten it down to just government organizations, but you can't host my stuff on these public cloud providers. So you can't put it at Amazon or Microsoft Azure mm-hmm. or this or that, because that just implies that it could be leaked and mm-hmm. be seen elsewhere. So we have some of those scenarios too, and we're dealing with that now, where we're trying to consolidate data centers, and people are saying, well, we have to have this sort of walled garden over here, and so I don't know what you're going to do to solve that problem, but it can't be in the mix with everybody else.
Sure.
Because of the same problem. Mm-hmm. So, but we're, it's all legal.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't mean to imply it was illegal, but I've just always wondered about that, you know.
Well,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Don't bring up conflict agencies, which is another story in the cellar existence.
Yeah.
I know a lot about that, actually, just because of email.
And
see, I think that's funny. I talk to people when I do certain projects, and I say, our group has no idea what our company does. And if I showed you 5 ads, would you know which one's ours?
Yeah.
Or would you? No, honestly.
I would only know about it through the prism that I often see our company in, which is, like, I'm like names going down the matrix, but it's just email domains that I have to set up. So I might say, like, oh, I know we do Rolex because I have to do login rules for them. Or I know we do, you know, this company or that. But no, like, outside of that prism, I wouldn't know, probably, to be honest with you.
I think it's fascinating that our group, and probably a lot of IT people, have no idea what we do, like, as a company.
Well, and they come and go so quickly. Exactly. You see it, you know, like you know, you'll see breaking news or something for, like, oh, we have Puma, you know, or something like that. But then, I don't know if we're allowed to say that, but, you know, we have some shoe company.
Right.
But then, I don't know, they seem to come and go as pretty quickly. I mean, it seems to be the nature of the business, you know.
Right.
Sadly, there's a fair amount of churn.
Yeah.
But hopefully not as much, and you could, you know, argue that we're trying to stabilize all of that.
Sure. It's, I don't know, it seems like, not to talk too much shop here, but as an IT person in this industry, I sometimes feel I have an outsider's perspective, and I sometimes consider it like a very unfair industry, where the client can basically just, I want to put it into review whenever I want, and it seems like 90% of the work would be in the review, and you just work for free.
Well, yeah, and there's fairly relationship-based, right?
Yeah.
So you've got a great relationship with a client, and that individual who's running the marketing organization at the client moves job, gets promoted, whatever, and all of a sudden your relationship sucks because the new guy comes in and goes, well, I don't work with these people. I don't know who any of these people are. I want to go with my agency, which is this other one over here.
Yeah, I'm going to bring my ex-girlfriend.
That is where I think you're absolutely right. The fairness factor comes into play. Mm-hmm. And you know, it comes down to the shorter-lived relationships are more tenuous as a result.
Sure.
Because you've only got a couple of 3 years invested in this. Well, we also have, you know, relationships that span decades. And those are the relationships that, even if you got a new person in, it's going to be a, look, we'll listen to you and what you have to say on this, but let's not throw out, you know, an 80-year relationship, 100-year relationship. so there's the unfair, and then there's the, you know, sort of stable reality. And even in those stable environments where the instability comes from is minor change within the business, where they'll say, well, we're going to take a chunk of the business. We're not going to take the whole thing away. We're going to take a chunk of it and give it to somebody else as sort of a test and sort of tell you that we're not as happy as we once were with you. So you still have the relationship, but it's not the same. So that's kind of the reality from my perspective, what I've seen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a subjective game. Yeah. I mean, it comes down to it. There's numbers behind it. There's actual, you know, sales and all that that go with it, but it's subjective. You know, I don't like that campaign. I don't like that idea. You know, it's very subjective, and it's hard, you know, hard as a business to sell in. This is a big creative idea, and this is why it is, and get people to understand it as opposed to just going, yeah, it's kind of risky. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Let's do the simple and safe.
I have some back, you know, background. I've been in meetings before where the creatives like the work, that, like, this is a great idea, and they tell the people, go out and find a client for this.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're basically trying to make up clients because we have an idea, so we can get awards, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we talked about, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, the Volkswagen thing?
Right.
And, you know, companies that have a problem are great for that kind of thing.
Right.
Where, look, we've got a brilliant idea, and it actually, you know, can fit to fix a problem that we see out there. I think the bigger challenge is we just have a good idea. We don't know how it fits. Let's throw it at everything and see if it sticks.
Right.
Right. But that's an interesting idea or concept that people would
creatives,
come up with something and go, I don't know, let's try this.
Yeah, let's throw it to a hospital. Let's throw it to, you know, whatever the client is. So it's interesting.
So that leads me to an interesting idea of sorts. An article I read, the UK apparently has some people who are a little upset about all the robotics that are coming about.
Okay.
And apparently they are trying to ban, before it happens, the sex bot industry.
Why? Like, what's the reason? I mean...
Why ban it? Oh, it's
so
know.
I mean,
you feel like anything that it's replacing, it would be better, right? Like, you know, if you think of all the sex slaves, you read those statistics, they're mind-boggling, you know, prostitution, it would seem like it'd be a good thing to me.
Well, according to Dr. Kathleen Richardson, such a use of the technology is unnecessary and undesirable.
Unnecessary and undesirable.
Now, you just raised some very, like, desirable results for this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you could convince somebody to don't, you know, trade into, you know, humans for this purpose, here's a bot. Go go do what you got to do. And
so, I mean,
leave us alone.
Countries like Germany, wasn't it, they had the World Cup a few years ago, and they brought in prostitutes because prostitution's legal in Germany. So they actually...
Wasn't it South Africa? I think it was.
They say that everywhere, though. They say like every if you host the World Cup, you are going to have a problem with stranded illegal immigrants that were brought in by like pimps.
Yeah, exactly.
like involuntarily, like sex slave. Like it's terrible.
And Germany, I think prostitution is legal, so they actually brought in, they imported a lot more prostitutes to take care of all the World Cup fans.
Yeah, they say the same thing happens for the Super Bowl, by the way.
No, they say that with strippers, they claim. Yeah.
No.
Oh, and prostitutes, too? Really?
Yeah. Same thing. So.
Not in our country.
Yeah. Look at Indianapolis now. just saying. Not sure.
Wow. Well, you know, I don't know if it's related, but or I don't know if that law was in response to that. There's a book that just came out by some futurologist where he predicts, actually I don't know if it's a man or a woman, I'm guessing it's a man, but that sex with robots will be more common than sex with humans by 2050.
Yikes, that's really not that far away.
Yeah, it's not.
Here, let me see, I just found it here, let me see if I can get like a quote or anything. By 2030, most people will have some form of virtual sex as casually as they browse porn today. By 2035, the majority of people... So this is his timeline for how we're going to get there. By 2035, the majority of people will own sex toys that they interact with in virtual reality sex. Then there's a bunch of steps, but he says eventually it will be a $1 billion market at a minimum where you have... Robot sex will overtake human-on-human sex in 2050.
Wow.
Wow is right. Well, one of these guys...
Brave New World.
Who's building, apparently, Roxy, the name of the...
Oh, the Roxy. Yeah.
Claims it's the world's first sex robot. One of these guys, to fly a bit in the face of that, says, we're not supplanting the wife. We're trying to replace a girlfriend. This is a solution for people who are between relationships or someone who has lost a spouse. People can find happiness and fulfillment other than via human interaction. He says the physical act of sex will only be a small part of the time you spend with a sex robot.
Or maybe if you're in the doghouse with the wife or something like that. You know,
on a couch.
You know, like...
God.
Go sleep on the couch.
So,
all right. Well,
I don't know.
I you know what'll be funny to see the metrics? Because I'll bet you, like, when they make this, like, 89% at a minimum will be female robots.
Well,
I don't see. Oh, yeah, I don't see girls being as interested in that.
I'm pretty sure I'm gonna like kill the room here, but I'm just curious. So, John, how many non humans have you interacted with in such a way?
Zero.
But this is my point. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Has anybody, like, come on.
Well, what? They're claiming it's going to be so realistic that it, this person is saying, that it's going to be so realistic that it isn't like it's, like, some sort of weird toy or something like that.
And because we're talking about sex bots, I needed to, you know, jump the ladder here just a little bit and say, even Disney's involved.
Really?
Have you seen this?
Oh, no.
I'm making the leap here. It's not Disney making the leap. Disney Research designs 3D printed soft skin system for robots. So Disney,
so they don't
scientists,
look so weird. Yeah.
And you know, this article is talking about Hero 6, the big balloon health robot kind of thing. Well, they actually have produced now these soft rubber silicone printed like soft hand type things. Now they're not hands, but there's a video and you guys should check it out.
I'm not sure we can't work.
No. You should check it out.
I'm not Googling anything.
Yeah.
They're showing you how they're taking like two hard plastic things that are robots and grabbing a hold of an object. And for a solid object, it's no big deal. But then they take a plastic cup and it shatters the plastic cup because the robot has no concept of how hard it's holding it.
Yeah.
Well, they put these silicone sort of balloons on them. And then they're measuring inside the air, right? The displacement
pressure
of air.
The air pressure.
So they're getting a sense for pressure.
Yeah.
And so now they pick up that same cup and it's able to not break it and hold it. And they go all the way through. They take an 8.5 by 11 rolled piece of paper and pick it up and they don't smash it. They don't, you know, now you're talking about something fairly thin that would be easy for a machine to do that with. It's just an interesting little concept. Did you pair that with the sex bot?
You got a good product there.
8.5 by 11.
That's a
product. Perfect.
I can't wait for the official press release from
It's going to be the most sexist ad. Like, never has a headache.
Never, never says no.
Yeah.
Never makes you sleep on the couch.
Ashley Madison 3.0. Sorry.
But I was just going to say, I can't wait for the official release from the Vatican that the Catholic Church does not, you know, doesn't endorse sleeping with
the sex bots.
Unless they can become pregnant.
Unless they become pregnant.
I think doesn't the Catholic Church technically not allow you to even have non-pregnancy sex or something
Absolutely.
Like that? Yeah.
Yes.
That's part of the training you have to go through to get married in the church.
I just one last thing on this. They interview all these guys that are working on the project. It's just their titles are hilarious.
Oh, no.
Sex robot developer Matt McCullen. Just like that on your business card.
That's the job I want.
Sex robot developer.
That sounds logical. That could be a title.
You're
on a
getting a
card.
Lot of interviews with that.
Yeah.
You may not land the job, but they're going to want to talk to you.
I just at a cocktail party. So Matt, what do you do for a living? You know,
like, sex robot developer? Really? Tell me more.
Oh my gosh.
How's that working out for you?
We actually, I saw a, this podcast is going on the drain, but I saw a work in progress ad that we're working on with a client in some office where it's a dildo with a camera.
Can
on
we say
end.
That?
Is that so legal?
Air?
We can say dildo. I'm not sure if we can
say dildo.
Talk
I don't know if we can reveal IP.
Yeah, that, exactly. The fact that we're involved. What?
So a
robot
office is using has a work in progress where it's a sex toy with a camera on the end that takes pictures of a woman's inside.
What?
And using Wi-Fi sends pictures to her gynecologist as a checkup device.
I think it would have exceeded the topic.
That's actually kind of interesting if it works. So, I know women hate going to the gynecologist. I mean, I didn't know this is what we'd be talking about. I have to confess.
I saw sex, and I'm like, where are we going with this today? And we've gone to vibrators webcams to doctors.
Okay, exactly. So perfect. It's like technology.
Yeah. It's going to save somebody's life.
I'm just curious. Sure. Is this camera like something you can turn off, or is this something that like so does know. The doctor maybe always know? There she goes again.
Wow, she's taking a lot of pictures lately. So her husband must be out of town. I don't
Yikes.
Know.
Got a lot of data here, boys.
Just some
we're
technology.
We're gonna crunch the numbers on this one.
Some analytics on this.
Wow, I've never heard of that. That's interesting.
So I think it's a office in Australia is working on that.
So you think that this might be popular because people.
If it really works, wouldn't it? I mean, I mean, just even at an abstract level, I hate going to the dentist. I hate going to the doctor. If I could take a photo of my mouth.
So if you could put a dildo in your mouth.
Dildo in my mouth.
Honey, are you done? I gotta send my dentist.
I send it to my wife's gynecologist. Does this look like a cavity?
We're on the rails in like 14 minutes. I don't even think we're halfway done. I knew Sexbot was wrong.
This is why they're trying to make them illegal in the UK.
Well, I'm not saying I would do it, but I understand that I might be getting close to an age where doctors are going to start probing things. Huh?
Yeah, you could just do it yourself and send a photo.
There's going to be a webcam and wireless involved, and it may be on Facebook, whether you know it or not.
Hey, I'm pregnant.
Would you like to share this?
Look at my prostate. It's the prostate of an 18-year-old.
Oh, I'm sharing that.
It's a prostate of an
18-year-old. Oh, God. Sorry.
I'm not self-administering that, and knowing my doctor's office, I might select a technician, let's put it that way.
Tech.
Sexbots? Anything else on sexbots?
I think we covered it pretty well.
We didn't ask Sean, so how many, blow-up dolls have you been with?
I've been with non-humans, or zero non-humans. Okay. Sorry.
I thought you were going to go...
Yeah,
Non-humans? 12 times.
12 times. 12 times.
All right, fair enough. Nobody's going to come clean on that anyway. So.
No.
I wish I had a more exciting answer.
We're really behind the time, Steve, so, we'll catch up.
Call me old-fashioned.
There's got to be a sexbot club in New York, right? New York's got everything.
Oh, I'm sure there is, Well, I feel like we should probably. Well,
if you're listening, call us.
I don't know if we.
Let us know.
I don't want to add too much more to this.
Sorry, I'll let it go.
No, I had friends that would buy things. What were they called? Like the pocket things. I had one friend that was really into that. And
we know somebody at a bar who knows what that's all about. I'm not going to name names, but it's the...
It's supposed to be, it's supposed to simulate sex.
Oh.
And you hold it, and it looks like a jock strap that you put over yourself, and you basically simulate sex. And John's giving me the exit stage laugh.
But we were done. We were done with that class.
I know, I shouldn't have,
Well, you brought up somebody that I'm trying to figure out. What are you talking
It's probably
about?
Something similar, though.
We can start talking about Derek Rose and his problems.
Derek Rose and a few people that work at our local pub know what these things are about.
Oh, all right, then.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, thought Bo. I needed a chaperone.
I had no idea Bo was into that sort of thing.
That's why he should be on his podcast.
To defend himself?
Mm-hmm.
Poor Derek Rose.
So, all right, we've given Microsoft some crap on this podcast before. I'm going to throw out there, did you see that, I don't know if it was today or very recently, they announced that their Skype translator is now ready for production. Do you remember this when they announced it?
Is this a real-time translator? Real-time like, I speak translator. To you and it translates it into, right. like, Swahili or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's, like, a handful of languages. I don't know, it's four or five languages that they're going to launch this on. And, of course, it will be, you know, Windows Skype client only. Yeah.
Wow.
But they are releasing it into the wild.
I would be interested to see what that's like because even when you just watch YouTube translations, which is in real time, it's not that great. You know, so I think you'd get the ultimate point across, probably, but you would probably have to speak, like, very clear, like, no colloquialisms,
right.
you know.
Right.
You would have to speak in a different vernacular.
I'm guessing it will be very similar to speaking to someone who has English as a second language.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And somebody who's very, at this stage, I would guess, a very recent speaker. Somebody who knows the language, can get around in the language, but they're still developing vocabulary. Uh-huh. They're still developing all those colloquial, you know, all of that. But I just thought, hey, you know, tip of the hat, you guys are doing something
that's cool,
advanced and innovative. Perhaps you could take some of those people and put them on just making the product work better.
Right.
But that's besides the point.
You'll be disconnected in 30 seconds. But you will understand each other.
For 30 seconds.
Two sentences in, you blue screen it down. I mean, you're like, all right, got it. Reboot.
But, you know, that's pretty good.
So by, like, technology equations, that means in, like, 10 years, we'll have some sort of universal translator that we'll be wearing
like
as a
Star
watch.
Trek.
Right.
And we'll be like, oh, I'm in Italy, and I don't understand what's being said to me. I hit a button, and it will translate what is being said, and this guy just called me a jerk, and my wife is fat. And I don't appreciate that. I'm going to the next place. Thank you very much.
You can, in 2050, you will be able to buy a sex robot from Italy.
Yeah.
And it will understand everything you're saying.
It'll speak Italian to you.
Well, and you will understand it.
Think about it. There's a confluence of these
That's
technologies.
That's not a running gag for this one, is it? Because I don't want to.
But it is a confluence of technologies that are all coming together. So you got, you know, the sex bot industry thinking about how can I make a humanoid type thing that acts kind of human. You got the productivity and mainstream technology companies doing things like Siri and Hey Google or whatever it is and Cortana, mm-hmm. Microsoft. They're all trying to do the same thing. Amazon's now in it with their whatever their cylinder thing is. All of them are doing the voice, you know, recognition and translation into instruction, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you got, you know, Microsoft saying, well, we're just going to do real-time translation. So, yeah, now you can buy your sex bot who can respond to your voice commands and can respond to your voice commands regardless of what language you give.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
But pretty cool world.
It's going to be weird having sex with Siri.
Yeah.
it'll
be interesting.
Let's call it your butler.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be.
It'll just be interesting because it's funny. We're going to become like our dads, you know. You never think it's going to happen to you. And, like, remember how bad our dads were or are with technology? Like, oh, no, I grew up in it. I won't be that bad. But these are going to be such big leaps that we're going to seem distant, you know.
So I have my house has an Xbox One.
Yeah.
And I walk into the room, and I am my dad. I walk into the room, and I say, Xbox on. Xbox on. Xbox on. Turn the fuck on. I mean, immediately it's like, what?
Maybe it'll respond to swearing.
Yes.
When you get
and in walks one of my sons, young one, older one, doesn't matter. They walk in and they go, Xbox on. Boom. Turns on immediately. I'm yelling at my Xbox, and they walk in, and it happens immediately. And then I'm like, all right, well, I'll let that go. And turn it up, turn it down, mute it, pause it. You know, it does all these things with voice. And I'm like looking for the remote. And one of the boys will just go, Xbox, pause. I'm like, what? How? And it just does it.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, I said it, didn't do it. Now I'm fumbling for the remote. You do it immediately, it happens. So I don't know if it's tone of voice. I don't know if it's you know, a low talker that I am, whatever it is.
I'm not saying anything.
But immediately they get response and I don't. So I'm already there. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm already there.
Yeah, it's just interesting to see it. And that'll be, not to go back to sex with robots.
So do you think sex bots are where the technology, we're going to get lost, Sean?
Because wouldn't it be hilarious if your I'll kids are saying, like, my dad's so old-fashioned, he don't have sex with a robot. You know,
like, Okay, I'll get you there, but because
if that's the norm in 50 years, or maybe that'll be, like, how my kids are old-fashioned. Maybe my kids, because in 50, you know, 2050, they'll be in their 40s, they'll be middle-aged, so sure. Maybe they'll be the last generation
right.
that won't have sex with a robot, you know?
I think it's easy for us to say, well, there'll be a technology that we won't understand because we were that first generation to our parents.
Yeah.
I think. I really do feel like that. But I don't.
There are always.
What is that
going to
be? But
it will happen. We don't know what it is, but it will happen. It happens to every generation. Like, it will happen. That's just history. You know, it repeats itself. I mean, unless you're the kind of person that can just always keep on top of everything. Because that's the thing. You retire. You start doing things you like, you know, you fish, you golf, you do whatever.
We've got at least 30, 40 years before we retire. What technologies?
Oh, I have no idea what it'll be. I just know that it's inevitable, but I have no idea what it'll be.
I think that's a realistic view. I think you're right. There will be some sense of what's going on.
What do you think it would be?
Sex with robots.
I think a lot of it that I find myself already deferring from a lot of young people and people my age is, I kind of don't give a shit what people say online. Like, I don't Yelp reviews mean nothing to me. I'll go to a restaurant if I think it looks cool, regardless. If somebody is, I don't really get this a lot. Like, I get negative reviews. I'm a comedian. I get negative reviews for comedy sometimes. I don't give a fuck. And I think younger people, I think, are more worried about their online persona. Like, that's a part of their life. Like, to me, it's separate. To me, it's this thing I have to log on to get work done, and I don't care how I'm assessed in that world.
Sure.
Whereas young people, like, they take it very personally.
It's part of their personality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, like, I already see that causing more of a gap between how I act and how I think my way's healthier, but who knows?
Yeah.
You know. I'm not on all those things as much, though. I'm not in online
as much. You don't know what your clout score is?
I don't know. I don't know.
Does anybody know what their clout score is?
I have no idea.
Is that a thing anymore?
That would be one of those, how douchey are you? I know my clout score.
Wait, what's clout score? I don't know what this is.
We talked about it one time, like, 5 years ago, or whenever it came out, and I signed up and checked it out. It's like your social media online presence.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it looks at all of your interaction.
And the clout score is a number between 1 and 100 that represents your influence.
Who are they?
Oh, Zooey Deschanel.
She's an actress.
Jessica Glebe.
You got Barack Obama.
Go ahead.
And Justin Bieber.
Thanks, Obama.
Talks about her friends, and I never know if she's talking to somebody that she's a group of people online, and it's really important to her. It is part of who she is. I totally get that that differentiation between us and that generation who feel that way. Because I don't think, you know, I think there are certain people, my wife being one of them, that are very connected to the Facebook community, right? And what they do there is part of what they are and how they act and so that's a little bit more crossover because it's far more mainstream.
Sure.
But I think that's definitely becoming the norm.
Yeah, definitely.
My online presence is as much a part of me as, you know, the fact that I can sit down and chat with
her. Well, when I come home with my wife, it's like, it's funny, like if my wife uses my computer and then I log into Facebook, but it's still logged in as her, it'll just be like, boom, you have 9,000 new updates, you know, and all the threads you're in, and, or she'll complain about, you know, some Facebook argument she got in with, like, you know, inevitably every Facebook thread, a gun rights activist gets in there, you know, somebody, you know, just You're butting heads with people all the time.
Or a bleeding heart liberal.
Or a bleeding heart liberal, you know, whatever. But, well, my wife's the bleeding heart liberal, so, you know.
Yep. It's the reality.
Yeah. I live in a divided house as well.
Wow.
I don't like when I get in the shower and I turn the shower radio and she has it turned to NPR.
Right? NPR, oh my God.
Which I listen to. I'm not saying I don't, but who stays in the shower long enough to listen to NPR?
It is a weird thing to shower to.
Exactly.
And turned off Rush Limbaugh? Are you kidding me?
That voice they use too.
I listen to maybe one song when I'm in the shower in the mornings because I'm in and out, but she changes our channel to NPR.
She likes to know a good 20-minute hot shower.
A minute and a half to change a channel, too.
But still, but like, there's no... NPR is like a half an hour investment, at least.
Yeah.
You have... I mean, NPR is good for, like, road trips.
It is, yeah.
Like a 10-hour road trip, mm-hmm. You can listen to NPR for hours, but a shower?
So I had one more Microsoft question for everybody.
Okay. Oh boy.
Does anybody have anything caught by Clutter? Clutter is the little service that theoretically sniffs out spam or mail that you don't care about based on how you interact with mail in general. Mm-hmm. It learns from your patterns. And how many people have things that are caught by Clutter?
So I just opened up my Clutter and the top, the most recent one that it caught was, is that
clearly you just throw those away all the time because it's learning from you.
So the report of how many missing timesheets I have gets in Clutter. I don't know how that happens. I mean, maybe that's why I never see that I need to do timesheets.
That's hilarious.
I mean, it's in Clutter and it says, you know, let's just get this out of here for you. You don't even need to see those because obviously you either don't respond to these or do them. So I blame Clutter if I'm behind in any way on timesheets.
So the reason I asked the question is I forget I have this thing called Clutter because it does absolutely nothing for me except every once in a while, like every maybe two and a half months, it goes, oh, I found four things that are Clutter. Are these Clutter for you? And I go, oh, my God, it's working. And this is one of those times.
Which is crazy because you spend at least, I mean, more than anybody I know who would ever spend more time on Clutter, like at least a month and a half, like going, I'm gonna try Clutter.
Yeah.
I'm gonna actually actively put stuff in Clutter and tell Clutter what to do, and I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna work it, and it's gonna be great. And we're 3 months into this, and you're just like, it's got four things.
It does nothing. Today, it found, actually yesterday and today, it found the same two regular mails that I get and said, these look like Clutter, and put them there. And I'm like, brilliant, it's working again. I'll report back and let you know if it does anything again.
I've got, from July 10th, I've got 9 things. Most of them are my timesheets. The other parts are, one is spam that I'm glad it caught. The other things are quartz job-related things.
I apparently have 21,000.
So it's doing a good job for you.
Well... I'm actually learning this. It turns out we have a quartz job that's just never worked. And it's been sending me...
This is our test environment, not prod.
This is our job, Sean.
Yeah, this is our test environment.
All right, let me go on Jira and bug this.
So, no, it's actually doing what it's supposed to. There's just bad data. But anywho, I think it's sending me hundreds a day that are all going into Clutter.
That's amazing.
Yeah, 21,000.
Right. 21,000 things in Clutter really worries me.
Now, here's another question. How actively do you manage your inbox? Do you let a lot of stuff sit unread?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you do that?
No.
Do you do that?
Very clean. No.
I have 50,000 unread messages.
Holy shit.
15,000, really?
50,000. My wife always says that, like, she looks at my Gmail. I think my Gmail has, like, some, like, 700,000 unread messages. And, like, my wife, like, is, like, so OCD, like, she can't even, like, open up my Gmail and, you know, like...
She doesn't want to look at your phone because she sees that little, like, red notification that says 7, 0, dot, 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 dot.
It goes all the way across the screen of your phone.
I don't know if it's 700,000. Let me.
That's amazing.
That is unbelievable.
I'm the OCD guy.
I'm the same way.
I would, frankly, I would prefer to be the inbox zero guy. I can't get there.
No,
every once in a while, I think I'm going to be that guy, and I clean it out, and I try again. Zero. I'm not the inbox zero guy.
Go...
Zero unread?
Yes.
Or zero messages in your inbox?
Zero unread.
Yes, I am that guy, but I'm not. Inbox zero is, theoretically, there's nothing in your inbox.
Oh, no.
It's cleaned out. Yeah. I can't get there. Much as I'd like to.
Control A, delete.
Well, I can get
just to feel it for a day.
And that's what I said. Like, every once in a while, I would go through this process and go, I'm going to move all this in here, and I know it's there, and I'll go back to it, and then I'll have a clean inbox, and I'll keep it clean.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Never happens. It'd be tough to keep that.
Never happens. I can't believe you can live with the mess. I mean, how do you find anything?
He doesn't. And he blames it on
search. He asks Dion.
Well, Outlook search is terrible.
Outlook search.
I mean, come on.
Find this email buried in 500,000 things in my inbox I haven't read.
I know, but it'll be like a very particular. I'll search like exact string prod PowerShell IP. Won't find it.
But you probably have
Dion will then forward me a thread that I'm on that a different weird word will be in there, like just randomly. The word gazebo will be in there, and then I'll search for gazebo, and it finds it. So, like, it didn't find the exact string search.
That's our safe word in index, by the way.
Gazebo is important.
And then Sean will be sitting at his desk, and he'll realize he's on the Boingo hotspot. Not even on our own network, which is another reason why he can't find anything.
That's why I couldn't connect to anything.
Don't talk about your Wi-Fi house.
And then your DNS issues, we're not going to start with.
Well, that is not unique to me.
But no, that's not.
On your new machine, let's see how long you can go without having to
hack,
put in IP
addresses. I broke down and I just asked.
No,
I asked for Earth's host file.
Because I don't need those. You don't need host files anymore, man.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's literally 80% of your problem.
What?
I think 80% of your problem is you specifically put in host file designations for servers. And if
I only put in for like 3 or 4. Like DNS just isn't. The problem is the DNS you get on our network for VPN does not seem to work all the time. And it seems to also conflict with your Wi-Fi DNS. There seems to be a weird thing with the Mac client.
I've never had a problem.
So here's what I've done.
I have. I know Eric and Eric have had problems, too.
VPN, I've put in a DNS server for VPN. If I'm not on VPN, and you can put the VPN DNS in there, I leave it just go to whatever defaults to the main gateway or router, and that's it, and it works. Just leave it alone from now on.
Yeah.
That's my suggestion.
It's just when you're on VPN.
On VPN, it confuses depending on where you're coming in from and what you're doing and who you are. It's not as accurate as it should be. So I basically say DNS out of New York, because that's where most of our stuff is. Most of our stuff's been registered there. Load balancers are configured there. Go through the New York DNS, and you're in. Only on VPN when you're connected. Otherwise, just let
I think you need to talk to the bars you're at. And figure out their...
You just filtering guys?
I think that they have bad routers.
So this is like the worst thing to talk about.
Yeah, let's transition.
In
let's
the
into,
podcast is our internal DNS issues that nobody's... Well,
you know what, though? I think, depending on our audience, which seems to be mostly IT here at this point, they may be going through some of the same stuff. And
they may
be. Oh, at least they're going through the same stuff. I'm not the only guy who can't connect to a server when I'm on this blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, it's not a... It's just one of those things where it's like, I have one experience, John's got one, Sean's got one. Depending on where you are, it's different in our world.
So I'm going to transition because, Sean, you brought this up, not this particularly, but you brought up Yelp.
Yes.
When you were talking about not caring about Yelp reviews and whatnot. What?
So I have a friend, a good friend, who I used to work with, who just did the latest commercials that you're seeing on TV and the internet for Yelp.
Yeah, you mentioned this.
Yeah. So, I mean, his name's Doug, and he went and filmed these new commercials, and they did this whole set of not safe for work Yelp commercials. And they're hilarious. If you go on YouTube and you go to Yelp commercial and you look for the most recent ones, you'll see this, especially the deer one. It makes me laugh every single time. So the husband's like, yeah, my wife hit a deer. And she's like, it came out of nowhere. And there's a deer in the driver's seat of a car. And like the two cars are on top of each other. It's a very compromising position, if you will. And the deer's just going, rawr! And then the commercial you see on TV is basically, well, we know the auto shop you should bring your car to. But if you go to the not safe for work one, it's the husband going, what the fuck did you do? Shut up, deer. You came out of nowhere. Fuck you, deer. And the deer's just like, meh. And it makes me laugh every time. Like, it's a very funny commercial. Like, I'm glad they've got the viral one versus the made for TV one. And if you look in the background, the auto body shop is actually Doug's Auto Body, or his last name, and it's
Dre.
Yeah, cool. Doug Dre. And it's very Douglas song. Yeah. So very funny, hilarious stuff. But like your comments and conspiracy or whatever your theory is on Yelp, and that they're like a cartel in themselves.
Well, I think they're an internet mafia. I think it's a racket.
You know? So that I want to like get you two in a room and be like, yeah, let's talk about this. Cause like you have a firsthand experience with how Yelp works, and he's trying to like sell Yelp. So
he has no credibility, in my opinion.
But he's the guy trying to sell everybody.
He's not going to change my mind because he's obviously going to advocate for him because they pay his bills. But that's what they do. It's been proven time and time again.
There you go.
So yeah.
Yeah.
And
that doesn't mean the commercials aren't good, you know.
But nobody knows his point of view, but they'll see the Yelp.
There's a new documentary coming out, though, called something like One Star or something. There's a new documentary that Yelp is trying to fight. Let me try and get it here.
While you're looking that
Billion Dollar Bully, actually, is what it's called. Billion Dollar Bully. But, yeah, they really do bully small businesses. They force you to pay for their ads. At one point, they actually employ people to give you negative reviews. They've kind of quit doing that. But they will put your competitor's ad. They'll figure out what industry you're in, and then whoever has bought ads in that industry, they will make bigger on your Yelp review page and show how well reviewed this place is to sort of steer people away from you.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
See, I was going to say that, you know, for me, Yelp and a lot of these places. I believe they're just preying on the individuals, you know, what are they looking for? So I'm going to look up a restaurant, a product, Amazon reviews, and, you know, obviously those can be fun. But you look and you say, well, there are some people that like it, and there are some people that don't like it, and you're going to sample some of those things, and you're going to find the one that's closest to your gut anyway, right? You're going to go, I want to go there. Oh, this guy says this and this and this, which is exactly what I thought, so I'm going to do it. If you don't find that in the first few minutes of looking up what you're looking up, then you might start to question. But you're going to find, for the most part, these places, you're going to find the review that speaks to you, that makes you, convinces you that, yes, you are right, go. Or, you know what, I've read 3 things, and this is clearly not the same thing that I was thinking it was. I'm not going to try it. But it's all gravitating to what the person thinks, right? So that's my opinion on the service. Whether it's a racket, and the way they advertise, and the way they pressure businesses, the way you're describing, those are things that it's interesting, and it probably should be it should be attacked in some way, shape, or form. But I don't think they have sway, but I don't really believe that they have as much sway as they think they do.
I agree, yeah.
But interestingly, Yelp is being referenced in a new service that's being promoted, a Yelp for People.
I heard about this. Oh, Washington Post had an article on this, yeah.
And this group has come out with a way that you can rate individuals.
On clout.com.
Yikes.
But it's not like this third-party algorithm that figures stuff out. No, it's Sean says
Web 2.0.
John's an asshole.
Yeah.
John's an asshole because Sean said so.
I mean, you get the AOL message, he's like, you've just been called an asshole.
You had mail. You're an asshole.
I just think it's hilarious that, you know, I've done a little bit of reading on this, and so there's several things that Twitter, you know, has the Twitter sphere has come back with, asking questions about this, thinking it's horrible. They're calling it Orwellian and ridiculous. What about the, you know, bullying? People are going to just use this as an opportunity to bully others. What about the fact that reviews for restaurants, objects, or sites are usually biased, a problem that could be exponentially worse with people, right? So the bias that comes with it, people that are going to do this are going to be either ultra-positive or ultra-negative, just like you get in other reviews. And then this question, I think this is brilliant. What happens with unsolicited opinions? And this is an Engadget article and conversation. What if you don't want unsolicited opinions? Even the founder of this service thinks that's a bad idea. Read this. Anyone know how to prevent people from posting on the comments on a company Facebook page? I know how to prevent people from posting on our page, just not commenting on our posts. So this is the founder of this service saying, I don't want to get people's opinions about our service. Meanwhile, they want people to use this service. I think it's hilarious.
It is.
What do you think? Is this a service? I was thinking about it in context of what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, where, you know, we were proposing you lost it, right?
Yeah.
So we have a, you know, yay, good for you. Here's a boo for you. It's the same idea.
I don't see it working. I don't see enough people wanting to go rate other people and wanting to search for people. I don't know. I could see it being used for, like, gags and bullies. Like, oh, let's all say this person is an asshole because we're mean.
Right.
Or he had a bad day. Let's all say he's great. You know, maybe the reverse.
I don't know. Why would Facebook introduce dislike after many, many, many years of not having it? It sounds like the tide's shifting from, well, we've always allowed like.
But they claim, though, dislike's different. It's like, because a lot of times you post something like,
negative.
Oh, I'm sorry, you know, he was such a great husband. My husband of 8 years passed away today.
My dog died.
Right, and people like it. Hey!
And people end up liking it, you know. They're clearly not happy about that, but you said he's a great man, and, you know, I want him to be, you know, rest in peace. So maybe they like the sentiment. So they were looking for something not, I hate, like, I dislike this fact, but I find this content engaging. So you wouldn't say, like, oh, I think that's a stupid sentence that man posted. I dislike it for that
reason. In a world
where
thumbs up or thumbs down are the two ways you go, depending on how the thing is phrased, if somebody's passed away and you do a like, it's because the comment you made was
exactly in
support of, and people understand it.
Yeah.
Now when things happen and you get a chance to like or dislike, it can get confusing. So I think, like, throwing out the idea of dislike means we want to hear more, we want to hear both sides of the story. We want to hear more of, well, okay, obviously everybody who likes it is saying I like it, but it's very, well, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? So if you don't like something 9 times out of 10, it's posted, right? When you're really upset, you go to the Better Business Bureau and you report that I don't like this place.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily go to the Better Business Bureau and say, this place is great. They did what they did and I'm happy and you walk away.
Sure.
So I feel like dislike is that extension for Facebook in the social media context where they're now saying, well, let's start to mix it up a little bit. Let's get those dislikes out there. Let's make it a little more negative. Let's start to get a little bit of that confrontation or conversation going, because a dislike on a comment that was meant to be a positive thing may get more posts, attraction, and whatever. So I feel like in the you've lost it realm, we're ahead of the game because Facebook is just starting to introduce dislike, and we're saying, you know what? You lost it. you had us at this, you lost us at that. And I think the world of negative is coming. Get ready for the wave.
So sex bots. Dislike. Dislike. Just sex bots.
I don't want that to be
the standing. Oh, thank God you're home, honey. I had a terrible day on the internet.
I did not want that.
Gotta get home to my...
Be the go-to joke of the podcast. Oh, my God.
I'm so glad.
I was worried about sex bots before we started. In the middle of our
Get Ready for the Wave would be a good sex bot company. Get Ready for the Wave.
Thanks for.
I was gonna bring up a sports topic.
Go ahead, do it.
Hurry up. Cubs.
Sports topic.
We hope the Cubs win. Go Cubs, whatever. Go.
Interesting concept was coming up today on ESPN, SI, whatever, about college players, because the NFL requires 3 years between high school and NFL.
Yes.
And there's clearly kids are ready.
Yeah.
To go to the NFL, and they're saying that star players should now just quit college and sit out.
Rather than risk injury. I've always felt that, yeah.
While we were at lunch.
Right. We saw the...
The running back we were discussing.
Right.
Announced that he was going to sit out his junior year because he doesn't want to get injured, and he just wants to go right to the NFL draft. Because
these players, basically, they're playing and risking injury for room and board and food.
Yeah, right. And they just, I honestly think the ruling that just passed where they're not even going to give them $4,000 a year for, like, incidentals is bullshit.
Yeah.
Because it's all about TV money. Let's just be clear. It's all about TV money, okay?
We figured that.
I think it's basically one of these things where it's like, all right, listen, you're going to go through your year. We are going to be on TV. I don't care what TV. You're going to be on TV. Four times. You get to make $4,000. That's it. You can't use it for anything, but you can buy food, it can buy this, it can buy that. $4,000, like, whatever. I honestly think, as a student, they should get some sort of allowance for that, because they're making billions off of these TV contracts.
Absolutely.
So, it's more of like a all right, you need to buy like some like sweatshirts and like some clothes and some this or that. You need to pay some bills for your cell phone, whatever. Like, do those things. You can't buy a Rolls Royce. I mean, you can't buy a Lamborghini. You can't buy with $4,000. But here's some money to make it, some incidental money that helps you get through so you're not starving for food, number one.
But that's not going to change. $4,000 is not going to change what was just described. You're still going to have the kid who's going to go,
no,
I'm going to sign for like
but that's
millions of dollars.
And I think that's brilliant. I mean, the kid that in high school can go and say, hey, New England Patriots, are you interested in what I have? Because maybe I'll just go to school, get a degree, and then I'll go right to you guys for whatever, and then put me in some program that trains
flag football for 3 years.
It's a training league.
Yeah, I mean, you basically perfect. Yeah. Well, why doesn't Tom Brady take
Maurice Clarett?
There he is.
You were right. Went up to the Supreme Court.
You were totally right.
And then NFL wouldn't let him in, and it ruined his life, which is too bad. But that rule is clearly designed so the NFL basically has
not play in the NFL.
Yeah.
Even though when they're totally capable of
exactly. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Evaluate you for free, and then we're less likely to spend bad money on you because we've seen you in D1 ball.
Hear them, or we can give them these camp jobs or whatever, where we're training them to be this next guy. Is it going to go that way, or is it
to an NFL recruit system? Would you not just pay for kids that you're going to bring up, right? Your minor league.
Well, they have the model. It's a practice squad.
That has to be
right?
Cheaper. Then,
well, you do this. You do that. Right. Give somebody some money right out of the
box. No one goes to high school or goes to college.
One of 32 NFL teams that are going to bring you up in the way that they need you to bring up.
I think that's good for the athletes.
Yeah,
but
you keep getting turned down. And what's going to end up happening is
It's always been interesting.
Sex bots will change the face of the NCAA forever.
I'm probably going to have to leave here pretty soon. But
what's this done on that show?
Like, his laptop, yeah. Too.
Well, and I'm recording.
We got to wrap it up.
That's wrap it up.
One thing that, like, they're clearly in cahoots together. With the one thing that I always thought was amazing growing up is the NFL is always on Sunday, right? Except for
rights.
When college football ends. They will play, the last 2 weeks, they will play Saturday games. Mm-hmm. And that's clearly them, in my opinion, having a coordinated effort that you will be our free grooming system and we will never compete against you.
But that goes all the way back to the back when they started. Why did they go on Sundays? Because they couldn't compete.
Yeah, that's true, because college was more popular.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the tides have turned and scales tipped and all that. But, that's tradition.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
So, I don't know. We got to wrap up. This became sports radio. Jeez.
Well, mostly it was robot sex radio.
I can't believe we're a sports podcast now to give John some shit about the book club podcast thing.
Yeah.
We're going to change the future.
So, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. We've been the Robot IT Guys, and this was podcast number 6. See you later. Bye.